Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGE, and this week we sit down with Todd Haushalter, the Chief Product Officer for Evolution Gaming, on the live dealer phenomenon that his company pioneered and now dominates around the world. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT. Visit IGT at G2E to experience the latest in customer-centric hardware, next-generation game themes, turnkey system solutions, award-winning cashless technologies, and the hottest iGaming and sports betting solutions. Todd Haushalter had risen to the pinnacle of his profession in 2015 when he served as Vice President of Table Games for MGM Resorts. That followed years of working for table game suppliers where he became one of the top experts in the industry. So it was a surprise when Haushalter resigned to join Evolution Gaming, a small European company at that time that offered live dealers for online casinos. Since then, live dealers have exploded on the internet and Evolution is clearly the market leader. Haushalter has expanded the Evolution product offering to include bettable game shows and explains why the live element of online gaming is in its infancy. He spoke with me via Zoom from his offices in Malta in August. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Todd Haushalter. Todd, good to see you. Evolution Gaming is really taken off. Everybody thought you were crazy when you first went there, leaving the VP of table games at MGM and going to this crazy little online table game company. But you proved us all wrong. It's Evolution is the leading table game provider in the online gaming industry, and I'm sure you're happy about the decision you made.
Yeah, it's been an incredible ride. I mean, I came to Evolution leaving Las Vegas and I moved to this faraway place. And I thought, you know, I'm doing it because I think I can have an impact on the industry. And it felt like the future.
Right.
And I figured Evolution had a bright future ahead of it. But holy cow, what a ride it's been. I did not anticipate us getting to these levels. Yeah. And it's still, hectic and growing like crazy every day.
Well, as you know, in the U.S., it's still early days in the iGaming business. So you're making a lot of progress in the business. So why don't you start with give us a little background on the company and how it became so dominant?
Yeah, so it started with taking one of those like Logitech cameras, right, and putting it in front of a roulette wheel and having the girl spin. She'd manually enter the number, mm-hmm, and Live Casino was born. Yeah. And that was sort of the first product was roulette. Then, and remember in those days, like you couldn't have decent bandwidth or anything that. It was really pushing the technological boundaries. And then the founders made a huge bet. And they built five tables and they decided to run them 24/7. And, it's labor intensive. Sure, and nobody's waking up in the morning looking for live dealer.
Right.
And it's not like you're getting premium placement on the websites at that time either.
Right.
And so, half a whole shift would go by and there would be no players. And money was tight, but then players started to slowly trickle in. Then you saw Live Casino get its own tab. So you'd have sports sure, betting and then casino and then Live Casino. So that was a huge win. Then they started kind of, the original mission was to sort of bring the casino to online. So the first three games were blackjack, baccarat, roulette. Then I came in and the first games we did were three card poker and Ultimate Texas Hold'em, mm-hmm, on license from what was then Scientific Games.
Right.
And then we started asking, well, how can we bring over slot players or how can we bring over the players that aren't interested in table games in general? And that's where this era of the game show was born, which we can get into more.
Sure.
But that sort of took the company and sort of online gaming into a new genre where it lives today.
Sure.
And it's a hard business, because you've got sort of half casino operations, right, and then half technical operations and your video streaming and it's a B2B business. So you've got to keep all your clients happy, you've got to keep the players happy.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about the human side to begin with. Obviously, you've got several dealer studios in Europe. So where are they located, and how did you recruit dealers to those studios?
Yeah, they're kind of all over. So a major hub is in Latvia. We've got another one in Tbilisi, Georgia. We've got another in Armenia. We've got one in Lithuania, Romania, Spain. Kind of everyone, I'm probably forgetting one or two. Sure. We've got one in Vancouver. Yeah. We've got one in New Jersey, one in Pennsylvania, one in Michigan,
right.
One in Connecticut.
Right. So how do you recruit dealers? Are they former dealers or do you train them right from the ground
up? No, almost never are they former dealers. You know, and at our scale, you know, we're hiring maybe something like 1,000 people a month. Uh-huh. So you just, if you limited yourself to former dealers,
right.
Particularly in some of these countries, sure. You know, it's not like Las Vegas where you've got lots of dealers around. Right. And honestly, what we do is we'll target like universities. We hire a lot of youngsters because we need to hire on all three shifts.
Right.
And not everybody wants to work nights. So if you're a student, it works really well with your schedule and stuff like that. We can also offer work. If you can only work maybe 3 or 4 days a week, we can support that. If you want to work weekends, we can support that. So youth is where you find a lot of the people. And then what we do is we bring them into the academy. And they don't know what a casino is. Right, they don't know how to pull a card out of a shoe. They don't know how to spin a roulette ball, nothing.
Yeah.
And over the course of 3 weeks, pretty intensive 3 weeks, we turn them into highly productive game presenters. Mm-hmm. And remember, they don't have chips to deal with in the casino. So that sort of really narrows down the speed with which we can train. But, you know, they have different challenges. You know, they're being filmed at all times, and so you've got to be friendly, and the mistakes are quite hazardous because there could be 1,000 people on your table.
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah.
So how did it work in the U.S.? I mean, I think New Jersey was your first studio, and I read you just opened one with BetMGM in Michigan. Is it the same kind of procedure there? You hire young people, and you know, especially if they've got some personality about them.
Yeah, ideally, you know, it's we're probably not that different from like a lot of front-facing companies, whether it be Disney or hotel front desk positions or Starbucks or something like that. And yeah, it's the same general model.
Yeah.
Now we adopt things for the United States. We have different compensation models and stuff like that. Sure. Like in Europe, it's very bonus heavy based on game speed, game mistakes and friendliness. In the US it's slightly different, plus there's tipping in the US and things like that. So it's but by and large it's the same model.
Right.
You got a lot of people to apply. You whittle that down to the job offers, and then put them in through the training academy. And then remember, on day one, they make a lot of mistakes.
Right.
And the longer they're with you, the fewer mistakes they make. So it's really great when you can hold on to them as well. So we try to make a friendly environment that's really enjoyable to work at.
Sure. Well, I can relate to, I didn't know what the inside of a casino was when I was recruited by Caesars to become a dealer in 1978. I had never been in a casino in my life. I had no idea how these games worked. We probably did a six-week course before Caesars opened, and it was crazy. So you mentioned that they can be tipped in the U.S. How does that work? Do they get to keep their own tips, or do you pool it with like the whole shift?
Yeah, it's like the typical Vegas casinos or where it's pooled across the shift.
Okay.
And right there in the user interface, there's a little button that you can push to tip, and it says like, how much do you want to tip? We know we're not aggressive with it. You know, it's an option that's there. In the American culture is so tip centric. And our partners like MGM and such, they just insisted, hey, you have to have tipping here.
Yeah.
In Europe, it's not as prevalent.
Right.
And so we run it a little differently there.
Sure. So, there's on all these sites that you're on, they also have electronic table games, and which are a little bit simpler, even a little bit less intimidating, I would imagine. Why do players enjoy the live games often more than the electronic versions?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it comes down to two central factors. The first is overwhelmingly trust.
Yeah.
You know, people are risking their hard-earned money on an uncertain event. And you know how it goes. Like when you're sitting at the blackjack table, you don't blame yourself. You blame the guy sitting next to you.
Right.
Or, you know, you're always looking for somebody to blame.
Right.
And there's, I think the gambler is really wanting to ensure they got an honest gamble. You know, if it's a pure RNG game for a lot of people, that's just not going to cut it. You know, you pull a digital card out of a digital shoe,
right,
and you say you got 20 and the dealer just drew a 5-card 21.
Yeah.
That doesn't sit well with a lot of people.
Sure, right.
But so you know, having the dealer there. So I think trust is probably number one and a very close number two. There, it's almost a tie. It's the social element.
Right.
And you know, it's interesting, Roger. Like even if people don't want to chat. And not everybody types in the chat, but they can chat with the dealer, and
sure,
the dealer can talk back, and they can chat with each other also. But even if they don't feel like chatting, I think they just enjoy being around other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like people will go to a bar to have a drink, but not to talk to anybody.
Right.
But they could have a drink at home, but
sure,
they still
right,
like to go to the bar and have a drink.
Right.
They just want to be around other people.
Sure.
And that's social enough for many, many people.
Sure.
And so I think it satisfies the social appetite as well.
Okay.
And then of course, some people, they form full relationships with the,
sure,
with the host, and they get to know them, and they
right,
ask them all kinds of questions. And, oh, you're back. And you're recognized by name, which
right,
is always wonderful.
Sure, absolutely. So I guess some people come back and they want to have the same dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we positioned the whole product around making it so you can see who's on the table
right,
at any given time. Now, the dealers are on a rotation, just
sure,
like in Las Vegas
right,
or something.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of people come back and they have their favorite hosts, and they even make YouTube videos about their favorite hosts and things like that.
Right.
We use the term host instead of dealer, but
yeah,
it's the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the players you mentioned can interact with each other. Is it just typing the comments, or can they actually talk to each other?
Yeah, it's just typing in comments, because imagine the hecticness
yeah,
of the chaos of having 1,000
right,
people talking
right,
to a dealer.
Right. Yeah. No
so they type, and at that, they already type nasty enough stuff at times.
I'll bet. Right.
And so we have a chat moderation team
okay, yeah,
who looks for all the horrible things you can write in every possible
right, exactly,
language.
Visit IGT at G2E to experience the latest in customer-centric hardware, next-generation game themes, turnkey system solutions, award-winning cashless technologies, and the hottest iGaming and sports betting solutions. Must-see innovations will include the all-new Peak Dual gaming machine, designed for incredible performance, play experiences, and maximum comfort. Stop by the Wheel of Fortune Jackpot Zone for the chance to win a deluxe Holland America cruise and other prizes. See you in Vegas.
So I can obviously imagine thousands of people playing roulette or baccarat, but blackjack is, you know, everybody has to make a decision. What's do you have a limit of the number of people who can play blackjack at one time?
Yes, we have a limit, and we have a solution, and so basically we can fit the same 7 people at a blackjack table
yeah,
that everybody else can as well,
sure,
because of exactly the dynamic that you said. But what you can do is you can bet behind players. And so we have a little hotness meter to show how many hands in a row they've won.
Okay.
So if you want to bet on them, but you ride with them, if they
yeah,
decide to split
right,
their tens or something, you know, that's
right,
on you. So that's one option. Another one is we have a scalable version of blackjack, which, you know, for me, it's not as fun as the real thing.
Right.
It's just not.
Yeah.
But it's something. And so what we do is we deal the cards that we deal out a central hand,
uh-huh,
the first two cards, and whatever, a 10 and a 6.
Yeah.
You decide you want to hit it. I decide I want to stand. And we have the cards kind of fall through a trapdoor. And then we replace it with a new card. And so you can see your version of the hand. I see my version
right,
of the hand. Not a bunch of cards piling up all over the table.
Sure. Okay. And then you, everybody just acts on it at the same time. So it doesn't take.
Yeah. And then you have this unfortunate dynamic where there's always one guy that's like wanting to split tens.
Right.
And like, but if you have 300 people on the table and one guy
right,
wants to split, you know, it slows us all down.
Right. Now, I know you also offer craps. I mean, that's one of my favorite games to play in a casino. How does it translate to live dealer?
Well, it's more fun in the casino.
Yeah,
I love live dealer, but you know, craps, it really feeds off of the energy of the other people at the table.
Right.
It's just a reality. Now, we've done our best to sort of create a vibe, but we've got this set that it's like a 1920s like underground Al Capone style craps table, like a speakeasy, and you feel like it's this underground table. And we teach the dealers how to call all the activity and everything else like that. And we even have behind the dealer on a board who's betting on what, so you can see, you know, how many people are cheering for a 7 right now, or how many people are cheering for a 5 or whatever. So we've done like everything we can to sort of push, you know, any sort of communal feel.
Right.
And I think we've done a good job, but looking into your phone and watching a craps table, it's not as fun as the real thing.
Right. Now, but I mean, it still plays like the real thing, correct? I mean,
completely. Yeah. And in many ways, it's better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you asked a question about the energy of the table and stuff like that, but it's faster.
Yeah.
You have a rebet button. Mm-hmm. So if you have, like, if all your numbers get taken down, and you just want to rebet, you can immediately rebet. Pressing is super easy. It's one click. You know, we can use the user interface to explain to you kind of what's going on at all times. We have numbers conditions. So we'll show you, like, you have chips all over the board, and we show you no matter what the number is, we show you if it's a 5, you're going to win $32. If it's a 6, you're going to win $47. If it's a 7, you're going to lose this. If it's you know, and it's all right there. So in many ways, it's superior to the to the land-based experience.
Right. Interesting, because there's a lot of like odd bets, hot bets, and things like that that are a little bit more esoteric on the live game, but you can actually see the payoffs online.
Yeah, exactly. In those regards, it's easier to follow. Like, I think a lot of people around the craps table are sort of novice. And, you know, you go to the craps table, the dealer's like, sir, those are your chips. You can pick those up now. You want this? You want to press this? Yeah, sure. He's like, okay, give me the money then.
Right.
You know, and you don't, the dealers really run the game. Sure. You have to do everything visually. And if the players don't understand what they're seeing on a screen, there's just no action.
Right.
So,
right.
And we also implemented something that I think is pretty cool, because I do think craps, everybody knows craps. Everybody likes the idea of craps, but not everybody knows how to play.
Right.
Even if you've been to a craps table, they still may not know how to play. So we introduced a concept called Easy Craps,
mm-hmm.
and it's on the craps table. You just push a button and it changes the layout. So all you see is the one roll bets.
Okay.
And then you can bet on the 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, before a 7.
Sure,
so we call it will roll before 7 and the one roll bets.
Okay.
And it's a pretty clean way to play craps without having to mess around with pass and come and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Well, you know, you and I know the best rules on the best odds on the crap table aren't even printed on the crap table. So when when people want to take odds, how do you deal with that?
So we support odds. At the request of our operators, we run it at 2x, two times. You could take 2x odds behind. We may have a partner that asked for 3, 4, 5 times odds, and we can support that as well.
Okay.
But you know, for the first time ever, I've got data on how many people actually take odds.
Right.
You know, it's always, you know, you can kind of anecdotally figure it out.
Right.
It's shocking how many people don't take odds, or even not, let alone full odds.
Yeah. Right.
Just lost opportunity that they just leave there.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking. So speaking of rules, you know what's happening on the Las Vegas Strip when it comes to blackjack, and here in Atlantic City, I've been walking around through the casinos, and it's hard to find a 3-2 game, you know, under a $50 minimum. But knowing online, you know, when I play blackjack online or the electronic versions, you get pretty good odds there. Is that also true of live dealer? Is it mostly 3-2 payouts?
It is, Roger. Yeah, you're just a click away from the next blackjack game.
Right.
You know, you don't have to walk. You don't have to walk a city block in the hot sun. And so we have no 6-5 across the whole of Evolution.
Okay.
And And we have a lot of blackjack variants and everything else. So everything is full pay, 3-2. We have no 000 roulette.
Yeah, good.
and we have almost no 00 roulette.
Right.
We were born in the company was born and grew up in Europe,
right,
where it's the land of single zero. And, 2.7% is plenty.
Yeah, sure.
If you look at Baccarat, the world's biggest game, mm-hmm, and they run the whole thing on a tick over 1% house edge. So, do we really need 5-7%?
Right.
And I know there's a lot of people out there that would say, yes, absolutely, we
right,
do.
Right.
But no, not online. We're not going there.
Yeah, I enjoy playing table games, even electronic table games online, because I know I'll get the best bets, at the minimum I want to play. I mean, I don't have to jump up to a $50 game to get a 3-2 blackjack.
It'll be interesting to see if that puts pressure on land-based casinos as people find playing online as an acceptable alternative if they find get a better game there.
Right.
Slots, by the way, runs the same way. Almost everything around on slots runs at about a 5% house edge,
right,
whereas the main casino floor is proliferated with 15% house edge games.
Well, the fact that you can find the return to player quotation, if you dig into the info on the game, you can't do that on a casino floor,
Right. Exactly. Well, you definitely want to hide it if you're running at 85% RTP.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. but most of them, as you say, are 95% or above. So even playing slots is more fair.
Online is great. It's a great gamble.
Sure.
It's probably you can get high limit rules betting low limit.
Right.
So we have 20 cent. Or even 10 cent single zero games.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. Spread chips around on a single zero game.
That's what I used to play at the Las Vegas Club in downtown Las Vegas. $10 craps.
Oh, really?
10 cent craps when I first started coming to Vegas in the 80s.
That's
crazy. It was crazy. So you mentioned these game show games, and I think the last time we were together at ICE in London, what, 3 or 4 years ago now, you were showing me these games, and they just look like a regular game show on TV, I know they've grown substantially since that time. Well, why are these becoming so popular?
Thank you for the compliment saying they look like a TV game show. That's what we strive for, something that's fun enough to just watch.
Right.
Why have they become so popular? Well, they have become all the rage. They're simply more entertaining. So they have... they sort of, if there's a central format of a game show, it's where you've taken the big six wheel, you pepper it with all kinds of different things that can happen. But some of those things take you off into this bonus game or that bonus game or that bonus game or that bonus game. And so you've got a lot to look at. You've got incredible variety. The wheel has that sort of beautiful near miss.
Sure.
Like, come on. You're always right there.
Yeah.
But I think the variety, the fun, the chance to bet small and win big, which is something that table games has always struggled with. I love blackjack, but my best case scenario is a 1.5x win.
Right.
Roulette has been limited to 35x. And so, here comes these game shows where you can bet small and win quite big. And so it plays sort of on the slot, that which makes slots popular.
Right.
You just take away the speed,
right,
but you trade that speed for a bit more, a lot to look at, and a lot of entertainment.
Right. Yep. So talk about the technical side of this. Obviously, as you mentioned in the beginning, the bandwidth problem really, really limited you to what you could do. But nowadays, we've got these 5G servers all over the U.S. anyway. So does that open up what you guys can do in terms of technology?
Yeah, it's going to be great. The where you spend a lot of your energy technically is not on how we can optimize the differential between 4G and 5G. Don't get me wrong, it's going to be great.
Right.
There's a number of things that we'll do around that. But at any given time, maybe 10% of our network is playing on a 5G.
Sure.
And so we're a good ways away. So if you build your product just for the 5G players, you're going to leave a lot of players behind.
Okay.
And so you do, what you agonize over is the player who has the worst bandwidth. And you know, how often do you get a dropped call still,
sure, right.
you know, in 2022? Yeah. And so those moments before the dropped call, if that's a live casino experience, for example, you know, you're going to have your video is going to want to just quit on you.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're shipping multiple video streams. So we're constantly saying, how good is Roger's connection?
Right.
And if it goes, ooh, it just dropped, we ship you, we say, stop giving them the HD, give them a high.
Yeah.
If that drops, we'll give you a medium. If that drops, we'll give you sort of an emergency low bandwidth where you can still keep the video. And then if in a worst case scenario, we fight to keep, it's fine, we shut the video off, but keep the game going so you can see in the user interface.
Right.
Because it's devastating. This is very serious stuff. You know, if you're Delta 16 and the dealer's about to deal their card, you don't know what it is, and now you have a decision to make, there's a timer. So we really have to do our very, very best to ensure that the technical part is there. Game shows are sexy and all that,
right.
but if you want to lose players, just give them a bad technical experience.
Right, right. Well, you guys must be pretty good at that. You're making partnerships all across the country in the U.S., in the new iGaming markets. So you must have a lot of trust from your clients as well.
The whole relationship is built heavily on trust, yeah. You know, if you think about land-based gaming, you know, where there you have to have shuffle procedures and you have to have card control procedures and you have to have and all of the things that can go wrong.
Sure.
And you think about how sophisticated our clients are,
right.
MGM and you know, Caesars and so on and so forth. They are definitely up on game protection, and they have come through and scrutinized us. They're like, okay, you know, we're going to take some pretty serious max bets here. How do we know that you're going to be running a tight operation? And we love that question.
Sure.
And so, yes, a lot of the relationship is built on trust. And, you know, other providers have learned the hard way. And, you know, we've had issues, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Get this, Roger. So online, you can, in Las Vegas, if you just enter the cards into your iPhone, it's illegal.
Yeah.
Right. You're using an electronic device to blackjack. You can use your brain, but you can't use an electronic device.
Right.
Everybody online can have a software that's running in the background that's tracking every card. And so that's what we're up against. Or they can write an algorithm to detect the ball speed on the roulette wheel and the speed at which the roulette wheel is spinning and to predict where the ball is going to fall.
Right.
And so you're up against some very, very serious advantage play and worse.
Yeah.
And but yeah, they do trust us. We're grateful for that trust. We work hard to prove them right every day.
Yeah, great.
And when players win a lot of money, they come and say, "Hey, talk to us.
Right.
What happened yesterday?"
Yeah. But as long as you can trot out the video and show them that everything's above board, you know, they don't mind.
And we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. Exactly.
Great. So, you know, one last question: Where do you see the live dealer market going over the next 5 years?
There's going to be a lot of expansion by studio.
Mm-hmm.
So America is going to stay hot, you know, who knows what the different states will do. But as they green light live casino, it seems that you're going to have to go there and build a new studio.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen all around the world. That's not just a U.S. phenomenon. So you're going to have to, there's going to be a lot of studios built. So a lot of people will be employed by live casino. Then the proliferation of the game show is just getting started.
Yeah.
Most of the people have never seen or played a game show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such an enjoyable way to play. And I get that if you've been playing roulette or baccarat your whole life, you might look at it and be like, please, I don't play that game stuff.
Right.
But there's new people who are finding their way to the casino every day, and they're playing for the first time. And now all of a sudden roulette has to compete against lightning roulette.
Right.
Where every round, a couple numbers are going to pay 200, 300, 500, 1,000 to one.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty easy to figure out what a new generation player would choose.
Sure, sure.
And so the intersection of RNG and live together like that is going to continue. Game shows are just getting started. International expansion. And I would like to see also, I think it would be cool to see game shows go into actual casinos. So it's not technically a live casino, but it would be nice to see some product go the other direction.
Sure.
And yeah, I think that's a neat opportunity.
I can imagine them using some of their theaters for those kind of things. And they've done similar things in the past that just don't have the gambling aspect to it. But I can see that easily.
Sports books. It's such unutilized space.
Absolutely, yeah.
Every evening, every morning, yeah. Midweek during the day. It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
So someone creative will do something.
Yeah. I was just, again, walking through the Atlantic City casinos, and, it's just really just baseball season in the U.S., so there's not a lot of interest, not a lot of people in the sports books, and I see it just like that, wasted space. So if you can do something like this in the meantime, it'd be a home run.
Yeah, I'm excited for that day. Right, we're pretty busy with the online stuff,
right.
but it's a dream of mine to see some online stuff come to land based.
Well, that might happen sooner rather than later. Well, Todd, thanks for taking the time. It's really been great talking to you, and I'm sure I'll see you at G2E in October.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Absolutely,
that should be a lot of fun. So, thanks for taking the time, and we'll catch up with you next.
Thank you, Roger.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT. Visit IGT at G2E to experience the latest in customer-centric hardware, next-generation game themes, turnkey system solutions, award-winning cashless technologies, and the hottest iGaming and sports betting solutions. To learn more about Live Dealer and the future of live betting on the internet, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.